Welcome back, my friends, to the show that never ends. Ladies and gentlemen, KSCO presents the Dr. Future Show. If you would like to join in our show today, you can call us at 831-479-1080. That's 831-479-1080. And now, your host, Dr. Future.
Okay, welcome back to the show, folks. Yes. For the next hour, we have several people in the studio, including an old friend of mine. But first, I'd like to introduce Rabbi Eli Cohen.
Say Eli or Eli?
Eli.
I use Eli. Eli is in Hebrew, Eli in English.
Oh, okay.
My bio on you says you're a leader of Shadish Yamanu.
Yeah, we should
a
probably.
A Jewish renewal community.
Now, yeah.
Renewal?
Yeah, so it's pronounced Chadesh Yamenu. How about that for an unpronounceable, unspellable name?
But Yamenu.
Yamenu. It means renew our days.
Renew our days, like a seed doing new growth?
Totally. It actually comes from a scriptural reference to renew our days like they used to be. So what does that mean to both renew?
Well, heaven on earth would be the ideal, back to the garden
exactly,
kind of
back to
consciousness.
The garden. Uh-huh. Exactly, yeah. Uh-huh. So that's the origin of the name of the community.
So it's in Santa Cruz.
In Santa Cruz, yeah.
It says that you were a public defender.
That's right, yeah.
A public defender for Santa Cruz?
Yeah, I was a public
really?
Defender here for a number of years.
You were. So if we got in trouble and we couldn't afford someone, we might get you.
That's right. I don't know if that would have been to your benefit or not, but
nonetheless, that would be your training in the human condition.
To be doing, yeah.
Wow.
And I was just hearing a different message, and I started to be drawn to matters of the spirit and ended up going to a rabbinic program a little bit after that.
So. Where did you go to rabbi school?
It's an organization called Aleph, A-L-E-P-H. It's the National Alliance for Jewish Renewal for this movement. And some of the programming is in Boulder, Colorado. Some is in upstate New York. Some is mentored through various Orthodox conservative reform and renewal rabbis, Reconstructionist rabbis. These are the various movements. And I had teachers and trainers from all of them.
Oh, so there's actually a renewal branch of rabbi training.
That's right. Yes, there is.
As a, like one of the five main branches of rabbinical?
Maine is an interesting word. It's definitely one of the branches. A lot of the community itself, a lot of Jews have never heard of it. It's newer than some of them, although it's been very influential. So some see it as a movement with a capital M, and some might say it's a movement with a small M because it infuses all the other ones as well with some of its uniqueness, its message.
How is it different from more of a traditional
Sure.
perspective?
It probably emphasizes a bit more than some of the other ones joy and mysticism. Its roots are in the Hasidic world, which is one of the Orthodox branches that also draws on joy and mysticism. Mm-hmm. But we are not Orthodox. We're not based on a particularly traditional mode of being, although many, many people who are renewal are. But I would say it emphasizes those things a lot, and it emphasizes the teachings of Rabbi Zalman Schachter Shalomi. There's a mouthful. We called him Reb Zalman. He passed just a couple years ago, who really saw truths in many traditions. So while staying grounded in our own, we learn the truths from both these other branches of Judaism, which have wonderful things to share with us and to teach us, as well as from other traditions. And he was really big on learning from the others. You know, he said in the old paradigm, to admit the truth of another tradition was perhaps to negate my own. There was a sense of triumphalism that you still find in many branches of many traditions. But he would say that in the new paradigm, we need the Buddhists to be the best Buddhists they can be. We need the Muslims to be the best Muslims they can be. The Jews to be the best Jews they can be.
So there's an acceptance of everyone's tradition as part of a bigger whole of humanity.
Right.
Huh?
That's exactly right. It sounds a little trite, but he had a beautiful expression. He said, the only way we're going to get it together is together. And to really learn, because look, we have lots of things in our tradition that are found in other traditions, but some of the other ones may be more adept at it or emphasize it more. You know, for example, certain Buddhist traditions are really known for their meditation practices. So we can learn from that.
Well, let me ask you this then. What about the classic situations that happen in the Middle East? Do you have a different view on how to resolve the situations there?
If I did, I wouldn't be sitting here.
Can I just repeat an old joke here that they say if in the Middle East, if you talk to two people in the Middle East, you'll get at least three opinions.
That's right. They used to, that's a classic. Yeah, for sure. were a simple matter, we would have solved it by now. But I do think that, and my own community is probably politically all across the board, so I wouldn't speak for anybody politically, but what I would do sometimes is say, what are our values? And then therefore, as we explore those, then each person can take from that and bring it into action in the world. And so amongst the values that we might emphasize, that we do need to learn from each other, and we do need to hear each other's stories. Maybe perhaps it begins with that.
Sure, and I bet joy and mysticism is more nonviolent than other people's attitudes might be.
I would think those would be embraced by most of the religions.
I think there are branches in every religion that embrace them, and there are more austere branches.
Like the Sufism.
Exactly. Yeah. In fact, I mentioned that we come out of, to some degree, a Hasidic tradition, which did emphasize that. The Hasidim stayed Orthodox, but they really tried to tap into joy and mysticism, particularly when they first started evolving hundreds of years ago. There's stories of Rabbi Nachman of Breslov, one of the Hasidic teachers, who went and basically locked himself up in a place with a Sufi teacher, and the two of them soared together. You know, so there really is a connection, I think, amongst people of faith who want to tap into that place, maybe have more in common sometimes than between that branch of a faith and maybe more exoteric side sometimes. Mm.
We have another guest that's just arriving here. So could you give us a little intro to our new guest?
Sure. This is Akindele Bankole. He also goes by the name of Akiva. Akindele is active in our congregation. It's interesting to introduce somebody else. a German-born Nigerian Jew. He's born in Germany. His parents had studied there, but he grew up in Nigeria. Mm. Came to Judaism a little bit later, though it's quite a number of years already. Mm. Is active in our community and also is a restaurateur. He opened up recently Veg on the Edge down at Abbott Square. So probably the only, vegan, gluten-free, organic, kosher, West African-inspired menu in the area.
Weaving it all together. Yeah. That's so Santa Cruz.
Yeah. Sure. Did Nina Simon have anything to do with this?
Maybe a little bit, yes.
Yeah, she did.
Yeah, for sure.
Welcome. Welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Yeah. So how do you find living in Santa Cruz so far?
Oh, I love it. We're in paradise here. We're in a wonderful bubble, and we want to make sure we keep Santa Cruz Santa Cruz.
Mm. Absolutely.
Really wear a bubble, huh?
So absolutely.
Okay, well, we'll be back after a little break here. The guests in the studio, we've got a special surprise coming up that I think you'll all appreciate over at the Kumba Jazz Club.
All right. More on the Dr. Future Show right after this break.
Hey, welcome back to the Dr. Future Show. So I do have a question for you folks. Renewal Jewish. Now, what is really the difference between that and a Christian?
Oh, well, I can't define Christianity for Christians. So, okay. But of course, certainly one of the definitions is the relationship to Jesus as the Christ.
The Christ.
Figure, right. Which is not in our tradition at all.
But, so you would agree with the other Jewish perspectives on that one?
Sure, sure.
Yeah, even in Africa? Is that true too? That Jesus, I mean, you must have been surrounded by a lot of Jesus people in Nigeria.
Right? Yes, I grew up in a family that's Christian, actually.
Wow.
Could and you so, put so, a little closer to the mic?
Oh, sure. I grew up in a family that's actually Christian. Yeah. And so I converted to Judaism about 11 years ago.
Converted. So you
I converted. Yes. Mm-hmm. So I was never baptized or really Christian, although my family was, my parents were, my grandparents and generations before them. Mm. I converted about 11 years ago to Judaism. Yeah.
What convinced you? Love?
I think my affinity for Israel.
Israel?
Yes. And when Yitzhak Rabin was assassinated, I really got to start following Israel's politics and to know more about Israel. And then I really fell in love with the traditions.
That's amazing. And, so really, he was a representative of peace and of a world that worked for everyone. Some values that I understand are very central to your organization.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
One thing, just as somebody who also was born into the Christian tradition in my family, I found it very amusing to watch an online on-screen rabbi one time do a show saying that all of us Christians are really just pagans who decided to embrace Judaism because Jesus was Jewish, obviously. And so, you know, when you understand his message from that point of view, you just realize that religion has meant so many things to so many people. And where we're at now, it's kind of a whole new era for people defining spiritual values in a context of social and shared beliefs.
I know that one of the things when Akintole came into the community that he was very stricken with, and a lot of people are, is that there's a strong emphasis in Judaism, no matter what branch, whether even the most traditional, in fact, also in the most traditional ones, as well as the liberal ones, of a tradition of questioning and a tradition of even arguing with the tradition. So he was very drawn to that when he came in to our community. Is that accurate, would you say?
Yeah. It's kind of interesting because it actually opened a lot of doors in that way. And it's interesting also when you have a particular worldview that what you feel that you're permitted to do based on the worldview can actually change or transform you. So, for example, I've always loved the idea of writing or even composing music and so on. But I've done a whole lot more just because I feel a sense that I'm able to actually question and actually get answers and actually have a dialogue between myself and the tradition. Mm-hmm. It gave me a little bit of permission that is okay for me to now do, to become. And I can see how a worldview can make people become Nobel Prize winners. Because if the worldview allows you to do that, to engage, then you do engage.
Yeah, it's enabling on that level. But
that's right.
How did it go with your family on the other side?
Actually, they loved
yeah.
it.
Yeah?
Yes, because visiting Nigeria, we took books and some of our prayer books and so on, and everybody wanted a copy. And my father was an intellectual, and so by the next day or the day after that, he had devoured a good portion of the huge books that we brought in.
Wow, so did he increase his dialogue with you on the
absolutely.
Topic?
Absolutely.
Really? And so yeah. you had a more father-son connection on that
absolutely.
Level?
Absolutely.
Huh? Well, let me just ask this question. Do you feel that Judaism is primarily a philosophy, or is it primarily a, I guess you would call it a ethnic tradition?
Yes.
It's both, huh?
On all counts.
Yeah, uh-huh. You know, there's a strong, in fact, that's one of the things that both pulses through Judaism and an understanding of Judaism. And one of the things that I think confuses people, particularly non-Jews, about Judaism, it is an ethnic group, but the ethnicity, one could say, is a vessel that contains a light. And of course, the light is the content, the spirituality, the shared experiences, and so forth. So one can always convert in, for example. So it isn't just an ethnicity. And in fact, I would really be remiss to call it an ethnicity in and of itself, because there are many Jewish ethnicities, and yet they share a certain common history, common origin, common spiritual orientation, even if many of them believe and think differently. So it is both.
And aren't some sects of Judaism that believe that you have to be born from a Jewish mother to actually be Jewish?
Well, yes and no, in that the tradition is that you either need to be born of a Jewish mother, this is an atraditional perspective, born of a Jewish mother or converted.
Oh, it's so conversion does count.
Oh, absolutely. Since the beginning, if you think back all the way even to biblical times, you had people who by tradition embraced Judaism. Probably the archetype or quintessential one is the story of Ruth, who said to her mother-in-law, "Where you go, I will go. Where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people." Right. So yes, that's always been an avenue, and
so
it's never been exclusively.
So there is a tribal aspect to it then?
Yes, it is tribal, but it's not exclusively tribal in that anybody can really join the tribe.
Well, it's more of a software tribe in that sense.
That's an interesting way of putting it.
Disconnect from, yeah.
Well, you know, a convert in Hebrew and Jewish understanding isn't called a convert. One is called a ger, which means a sojourner, somebody who's journeying with you.
Yeah, and the understanding of stories, like what's your understanding of the, or what do you embrace as the, like the Messiah story, the update on that at this point in time?
Us, you mean?
Yeah. Do you think there's still going to be a Messiah? Or do you think he appears in everyone? Or
that's a very interesting question, because Jewish understanding, again, what was the two people, three opinions? Jews have always said 10 Jews and 12 opinions, always. And
that's an opinion.
Even more than I thought.
We have,
God wanted many. Now, that separates the Jews and the Christians from others.
Go forth and multiply.
One God, multiple God argument, right?
Well, that's exactly right. Messiah in Jewish tradition means the anointed one. So at its origin, it does refer to a particular person who will ultimately become the king of the Jews and lead the Jews to a new era.
So an alpha male leader of some sort?
In some ways, you could see that at the origin. But
was it somebody who was part of the tribe who was going to become the king at that time?
I think that's
imaginary person of the future?
King of all the tribes instead of just one tribe.
Yeah, at its origin, it comes out of that. But Jewish understanding today often sees it more as an era, a messianic era, or a way of treating each other. So less emphasis on who or what that personhood might be, and more on what might bring about that consciousness. So you might call it a messianic consciousness. So as an example, if the entire world, this is what we call midrash, it's almost like rabbinic legend, the entire world was good or the entire world was evil, the Messiah would come. Or if every Jew learned how to truly keep the Sabbath two times in a row, you can see what it's getting at is not a literal truth so much as a way of trying to expand our consciousness. One beautiful example is that the Messiah, or Elijah, who is said to presage the Messiah, could be anybody, including the people you least expect. So the person you stumble over on the street, the person you perhaps might be impatient with in the line at the supermarket, that person could be the Messiah, you see? Yep. So again, not to take it literally, but what brings about our shift in consciousness.
Uh-huh. Well, and when you say Messiah, is it meant to be somebody who transforms your consciousness so suddenly
the right person at the right time?
Evolutionary things instead of destructive things?
So some would say yes, a person who does that. Some would say it's rather the consciousness itself. Yeah.
It sounds like nirvana in Buddhism.
Well, right? So again, as you get to more esoteric understandings, there really is a parallel in these. Absolutely, there is.
Well, that's interesting to look at. Tie it all together.
Yeah. Well, it's like we can't have heaven on earth unless everybody is feeling it, because the person who is doing the suffering is the one who's going to say, nope, not heaven over here.
The way I see Jewish renewal, especially, although in my case, it is possible that the ultra-Orthodox would not consider me Jewish. Yeah. So even though I did...
But the renewals reach out more.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yes. But it doesn't matter, because if you have something in your heart, you know, it doesn't matter who considers you it or not. It doesn't make any difference. But when I see Jewish renewal, it's a pointer. It's pointing to something.
Navigation to. Navigation pointer. Yes. Okay. So, we'll continue after the CBS news break. We'll be back. It's the Dr. Future Show. www.drfutureshow.com. Get you there.
All right. Hang on, callers. We'll get you after the break.
Yeah, running down that dream. I first came to Santa Cruz in the early 80s. This felt like a heaven on earth kind of place to me. And one of the first persons I met here was none other than our next guest, Carrie Toter. Carrie, who introduced me to visionary art and painting and walking on the beach barefoot and having great conversations with dear friends. And Carrie is the one that got me interested in creating today's show, one of the instigators to making this all happen. And Carrie, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Alan. Thank you, son.
Yeah.
Nice to be here.
You wanted to give us your testimony for this Jewish renewal experience so far.
I am thrilled to find a Jewish community that I fit in with, that I resonate with, that I grow from, that I feel family with, that I can expand in, that touches me on the deepest cores of my spirituality. Mm. Born and raised Jewish, but then I went on into my mystic reality.
Well, you're in Santa Cruz here, so you experienced a lot of alternative belief systems.
And about 40 years of alternative realities. And after my parents passed, I really needed a place to say the Kaddish.
Came back to that, huh?
So I came back home to my Judaism, mm-hmm. and it's now my main spiritual root that just feeds me on such a deep level. And I'm so grateful that Santa Cruz has a Jewish renewal group, because it is, I want to say awesome, but that doesn't really cut yeah. it. It is embracing. It is soulful. It is intellectual. It is exciting. It is deepening. And I'm just so grateful for Rabbi Eli.
It sounds like family, too.
It feels like family. And I'm just thrilled about it. So we're producing a Season of Light benefit concert to benefit the Kadeus Humano organization community of Santa Cruz.
Really?
Give us a few minutes on that.
Yeah.
Tell
us the vision. First, maybe perhaps the both of you, you know, all
or
of you.
Or if
could,
you'd like to, Rabbi.
Yeah.
Or
the
sure.
vision of this, what you're fundraising
really,
for.
We're grateful to Carrie and the whole team for putting this on. They've put in mm-hmm. wonderful hours of work. We're kind of a hidden secret in Santa Cruz, but we do such wonderful work. And this is bringing us out into the community more, but we're really grateful to our performers, Elisa Feynman and Kimball Hurd. Elisa and Kimball are well known in the music world, particularly the local scene, but all across the country, particularly at folk festivals.
She's one of the stars of the...
Right. Gorgeous voice. She could, as far as I'm concerned, sing the phone book and I would be like enthralled. She's just fabulous. And both of them, they're great musicians. They have a lot of original music. They have an album of Jewish music. This will be a concert to celebrate the Season of Light for all of us. So it will be a very open, accessible concert. You know, we're almost sold out. I'm surprised. So it's not like I need to plug it per se, but I really think that if you are interested, do get your tickets. There's only about 30 something left, I think. Yeah. It's going to be beautiful. It's going to be Sunday, December 17th. That's this Sunday at 3 o'clock at the Kumbwa. To get tickets, you can either go on Brown Paper Tickets and find us there, Season of Light, or you can go onto our website, which is very easy to remember. You got to remember the letters CY and then spell it Santa Cruz, cysantacruz.com, and you can click on the button for the Season of Light concert and go on YouTube at some point. Play some of their music so you can hear what they're like. You'll be probably is turned on to their gorgeous.
Yeah, we'll see if we can tune one or two up between the breaks here.
Oh, thank
Absolutely.
You.
Absolutely.
I like this. We do have a question from the audience regarding your vision. What's your vision in Santa Cruz?
That's an interesting question because vision is so broad. You know.
I know. Are you planning to like have a temple?
We would love to have our own space. We don't. But while we don't, we connect with the community. So, for example, we're currently meeting at the Vets Hall downtown.
The Vets Hall. So yeah. That's open again now.
That is. Yes. Yeah. It's a really nice space, actually, for us. What it does, it's like any place has pluses and minuses. But yeah. What it does for
nice
us
location.
Is bring us right into the center of town.
Exactly.
Right into
yeah.
the center and of the community. I mean,
yeah.
the vets, right? So it brings up all sorts of issues and all sorts of ways we can connect. Let me give you an example.
Well, I know there's a lot of tents around the Vets Hall.
There were.
Yeah, they're in the park.
I mean, yeah. As a spiritual being, you must have some answers to that question, too.
All the answers.
Of course.
But it always comes down to compassion, doesn't it, on some level?
Yeah, yeah.
And, well, in fact, that's another thing about the community. So Santa Cruz, the city of Santa Cruz has recently adopted a program called the Downtown Streets Team, which has been successful in other cities in the country. And our city has thrown itself behind it. And what it does is hire, as it were, people who are disadvantaged in some way or houseless in some way to do beautification projects downtown. And in exchange, they're given vouchers for food and shelter and so forth. Helps them with all sorts of practical needs, self-esteem and so forth, and gets projects done downtown that we need. So as soon as we heard about it, we threw ourselves behind it. And though we're a little community, we're really involved. And every event we have at this time of the year, for example, we have bins so that people can make donations of shampoo or socks or things that are needed, and we're putting together what we call hygiene bags that we can give them as a gift. So we're very connected, for example, in that way to the community. Yeah. We're also very connected to a little church group that meets before us at the Vets Hall called Papa Peace, Reverend Beverly Brook. And we did, for example, a combined service where we honored veterans on Veterans Day. It happened to fall on Shabbat, the Sabbath. We got together and honored veterans, recent vets, Blue Star Moms. My father happened to be visiting a Korean vet. We had a veteran of World War II who was part of the liberation of Dachau, the concentration camp. And so it was very moving to honor them and at the same time to benefit from their experiences that way. So as far as going to the vision, our vision is to be more fully into the community. That's why we're doing this concert. That's why we meet at the Vets Hall. I would love to have a building at some point. So any of you out there in Radio Land who wants to donate an absolutely gorgeous building, we'll take it. But in the meantime, I think we'll be just trying to connect with people and others in the community.
You have a connection with the other synagogue, the main synagogue in town?
Yes, Temple Beth El in Aptos. The rabbi and I are personal friends. Our communities do a lot of things together. Many of our members are members of both places. And we do a number of events together, certain holidays. They join us once a month on a Shabbat Sabbath morning. So yeah, we do quite a few things together. Yeah. And then there's umbrella type things. For example, all of us support the Hillel, the student group from campus. We're all involved in what's called the Tent of Abraham, which is a consortium of individuals and congregations to support dialogue and meaningful understanding and compassion between all the Abrahamic faiths. And we're having a three-part series. We did one on anti-Semitism. We have one coming up on Islamophobia, and then one coming up on misunderstanding and intolerance of Christians.
It must be an interesting issue. There must be all represented in our larger Santa Cruz community. Do you know like some of the Islamic community here?
Yes,
for example?
Mostly through this work with the Tent of Abraham. So these kinds of things that bring us together, I have to credit Temple Beth El for putting together something called Out in Our Faith, which congregations all around the county are involved in to support lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender community in various ways and to make the congregations themselves more welcoming and more open and more affirming so that people can feel safe and welcomed in their own congregations even. And so that brings us together with all sorts of people in the community. So these are the ways that we're trying to connect. So back to the question of the vision, that's part of the vision. Back to what I said at the very beginning of the show, Reb Zalman saying the only way we're going to get it together is together.
Together. Yeah. Including everyone, including LGBTQ.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Uh-huh. Yeah.
So what's at the concert? Okay, you had one singer. Can you tell me a little bit more about her? I'll see if
sure.
I can
Sure. There's
up.
Two of them, actually. Elisa Feynman, F as in Frank, Feynman, and her husband, Kimball Hurd. They're both well-known in their circles and beyond. Great musicians, great singers. I first saw Lisa with Tom Paxton when he appeared many years ago in Monterey, and we know them also through the Jewish community as well. She's a cantor down in Carmel. They're just gorgeous performers.
Okay, good. I've got one of her pieces queued up. So this is Elisa Feynman.
There we go.
I saw a shining light, warm and shine like in your eyes. Before I really knew you, I had a feeling down inside that your soul was made to feel and share life's pleasures pure and fine. You're a man that knows friendship the way others know. Here's to a cup of kindness.
Oh, beautiful.
Medicine so strong. From you I learned that love and friends forever keep you young. And here's to a cup of kindness, a tradition on the coast. May it always be the time for friends to make the toast.
Stay on the line, be patient.
Okay, welcome back to the Dr. Future Show. We have Billy on the line. Hey, Billy. Billy
Sunshine,
welcome to the show. Hey,
Billy, welcome to the show. Thanks for your patience.
Hello, all you beautiful people.
Hey there.
You know, this is not the Messiah calling. In fact, I'm way closer to being the Antichrist.
Oh, yeah. Many people on this station would like to think so.
Yes, they do. And that's part of what I have to say is from what I hear on the station. Let me start with saying that what I love about Judaism is that it doesn't kill the brain, it grows the brain. You're not told what to think in Judaism. You're allowed to argue with the rabbi.
But do you tell everybody else what to think? No, just kidding.
Yeah, I try to, but I like that Judaism doesn't. I find that Islam and Christianity, for example, they tell you what to think. They don't give you a lot of room. The other problem that I have is I myself, as an atheist, I find religion to be a problem. And specifically in America today, when I have a president that tells me I'll be saying Merry Christmas. And by the way, I want to ask your guests, do they say Merry Christmas or Happy Holidays?
I personally will say Merry Christmas to a friend I know is celebrating Christmas. I say Happy Holidays in general. But sometimes I might say Happy Hanukkah. And to all of you out there, tonight at sunset is the first night of Hanukkah.
Yeah, yeah.
So Happy Hanukkah.
I feel, you know, listening to some of the people on this station, that if you're not a white Christian, you don't belong in this country. And for that reason, I don't like seeing people getting involved with Christianity in any way at all, because I feel oppressed by it.
Well, a lot of people share your point of view, but people who are prejudiced against something will never see the goodness in it. And I see the goodness in Christianity. I see the goodness in Judaism. I see the goodness in Islam, Mohammedism.
You see the negative
in
Buddhism. All of those things?
Absolutely. Huh? Yeah, absolutely.
I know you're a positive person, so
I believe
you're
in
so
focusing
loving.
On the positive.
I know it's hard for you to
focus on the positive, and then we'll get more of it. That's my attitude.
Well, you know, I'd like to focus on the positive, but as a Jew, specifically, facing yet the anti-Semitism I've faced over these centuries, as a Jew, I'm not happy with letting this go. We're disappearing, and this is not helping us to keep from disappearing, and it makes a lot of people happy to see us disappearing.
Hey, let's give the rabbi a chance to respond.
Well,
there's a lot said there, so thank you so much for sharing it. I suppose, much like other things going on in society right now, when something needs to be called out, then we should speak up and call it out. And so I applaud you for calling out intolerance, for example. On the other hand, I've been blessed to know many people who were inspired to be exceptionally good people by their Christianity. And so I appreciate that. As I said earlier in the show, I think I said it, I can't remember if it was on the air or off the air, but my teacher used to say, we need to learn from everyone. In fact, it says in Pirkei Avot, in the Mishnah, in the ancient sayings of the rabbis, who is wise but one who learns from everyone. So I need to learn what is the best that Christianity has to offer, and I need to ask my Christian friends to be the best Christians they can be. That doesn't mean I have to be Christian, and doesn't mean that I have to tolerate the bad that's in Christianity either. So, and that's true for all of our traditions. That's what I would have to say.
Anybody else want to address that?
Hearing you, Bill, this is Akindele, and I certainly applaud you being able to really come up and speak your mind. But I also think I agree with Sam Harris, that I'm sure you're familiar with Sam Harris, that the problem sometimes is the moderates. That moderates sometimes allow the extremes or the extremists to actually flourish by not holding them accountable. Unfortunately, I don't think religion is going anywhere, because I think religion, as you can see in Judaism, religion is part tradition. And if you look at any religion, you will see that the religion talks about the area, the land, talks about the food, talks about the people, even describes the hair and skin and so on. So in other words, religion is not just merely about God, but is also about human beings and what we do. And by not recognizing it, we may actually hurt people. So, for example, myself as a Yoruba, I'm from West Africa and I'm converted to Judaism. So I consider myself a Yoruba Jew for a reason. Because if I do not talk about that part of me that's Yoruba, a medical doctor may not know the nuances of any potential illness that I may have. That's the reason why I think it is important that we recognize all of those different parts of us, so that for health reasons, we make sure, for example, Eastern European Jews have more tendency to have breast cancer. So we need to make sure that we recognize that as part of who they are, so that we make sure that there's medical facilities able to handle those situations when we have those happen.
So, Bill, I just want to say, respond quickly, and then we've got a few other callers. Thanks.
When we focus on God, we stop focusing on each other as humans, I believe. And I found it's created more disparity than friendliness over time, and I'd like to focus on humans. I think the primitiveness of the God concept and religion is something we leave behind for civilization and society. Thanks, guys.
Yeah,
Billy,
thanks,
thank
Bill.
You so much. I know he may have lost the call, but I appreciate what he brought up. And I think there's a lot of truth in what he says. And I just want to say that maybe our work as religious leaders or anybody involved in religion, if they are, is to bring that focus on God into alignment with the focus on others. So we are said to be, all of us, made in Hebrew, it's called B'Tselem Elohim, in the image of God. So we have to treat each other as if that were true. I think he's right. I don't think we do that. And oftentimes in the name of religion, especially so. But yet that is our work. That is our task. And so I would encourage him, if he'd like to have a personal conversation with me, I'm happy to talk with him sometime. He can find how to contact me through our website, cysantacruz.com.
All right.
Thanks,
Let's
Bill.
Go to a couple of more callers here. We've got Aaron in Monterey on Judaism. Hi, Aaron in Monterey.
Hi, this is some tricky stuff, but I love it. A couple things. I'll just say one thing that I found really surprising recently. I came across a Pew study that suggested about a third of U.S. Jews felt that Jesus as Messiah is compatible with Judaism. Something to look into for people interested in this stuff. I was kind of fascinated by that thought. So in other words, they could almost say that it's being Christian is being Jewish to a third of Jews, the way I understand
well,
it.
Well, goodness comes in every flavor, right?
Yeah. And then on the goodness stuff, and my buddy Billy Sunshine, I think this whole concept, first of all, it's a generalization. Is Christianity bad, you know, or is it worse, more bad than good, or that kind of thing? First of all, it's a huge generalization. I think it falls into the realm of stuff we can't know, but most people think we can. I would say human beings, my guess is they are more good than bad, generally. If we're going to go generalization, that means Christians, all the different types of, you know what I mean, of
sure.
human beings, of different... Yeah, so I don't know. I guess I could go on and on, but those are a couple. I'll keep it more simple. I know there's other people
right, yeah,
who want to chime in.
Yeah, my gym teacher used to say that. It's everything is good except for that lousy 2%.
And I like to say God is like love. It means something different to everybody. Mm-hmm. So you may as well focus on the parts that work.
Am I still here?
Yeah, you are.
You're still here, Aaron. Yeah. I do want to go to one other caller, so one maybe just wrap it
no,
up.
No, one quick thing, too. Yeah, we are risk-averse. This is something that behavioral scientists have figured out. So that's why we're looking at stuff going, oh, Christians are bad, you know, Billy Sunshine, because, you know, we do a coin toss to win that game with 50-50 odds. Mm. We want to, you know, do you know that thing about the 2.5? It's a little too tricky. I'm probably losing some people. So
yeah, I'm not sure.
Maybe another time.
All right.
Well, Aaron, I would just say one quick thing. I don't want to address everything you brought up because it would just take too long. But I do want to mention again that we, through the Tent of Abraham, have this three-part series. We had the part on anti-Semitism ready. We have one on Islamophobia coming up. But we do have one on intolerance for Christians and their religious perspective, even in our societies. So I would agree with you that we're all across the board. And as I said to Billy before, we've got everybody across the board in all our traditions doing good, not doing good. So we want to support the people who are doing good in the world.
All right. Thanks a lot. We're going to go to another caller. And Rory in Watsonville, welcome to the show.
Thank you. And happy Hanukkah to all my Jewish friends. And to Billy, just take a deep breath, Billy. Relax. I'm not out to get you. I do believe that we were made in God's image and likeness. That is, comes out of Judaism. Even Yeshua HaMashiach said, whatever you do to the least of my brothers, you do it to me as a reminder. And I have an ancestor that was an Italian diplomat. He was Catholic. He happened to be stationed in Salonika, Greece, and he put his life on the line to falsify documents to get Jews out of Salonika to get them to Athens, which the Italians controlled so they could get out of Europe. And that's when there was an active movement of Jews north on the trains by the Nazis. Mm. And he did it right under the nose of the SS.
Thank you.
So anyway, and you know, so Christianity comes out of Judaism, and both Judaism and Christianity teach to look out for each other.
Yeah.
And I disagree with Billy politically on a lot of things, but I would never raise a hand against him. And I would, if he was under attack, I would do all I could to protect him.
Awesome.
So I just want to throw that out there in the spirit of the season. Merry Christmas, happy Holy Days, which is what holidays means. It means Holy Days, and thanks for listening.
All right, thanks, Rory.
Thank you.
Great. Well, what a great show here. We're almost at the end here, folks.
Thank you both for being on the show.
give us your website, Rabbi, and
sure.
your Hadesh.
Hadesh means renew, Yamenu, our days. And it's cysantacruz.com. And come to the concert on Sunday at 3 at the Kumbwa. Get the tickets at the website. Find out about us on the website. Contact us. Come visit us. And we'd love to meet you.
And Akindele, thanks for being here.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having us.
Yes.
And come to one of our dance services.
Dance. Thank you, Carrie.
This is KSCO Santa Cruz. Thanks for listening to the Dr. Future Show. We'll be back next week.
Yes.